Thank you, Julie, for reading. It's a real joy today, isn't it? I don't know if you're someone a little bit older, but sometimes it can take you down a memory lane of thinking when you were baptized or when you'd witnessed baptisms. But there is something of a joy of salvation linked with baptism. And to actually see it publicly done is wonderful. It stirs your heart. It should do anyway. Stirred my heart, and in some ways, yeah, it's a bit more stirred today because it's my eldest lad getting dunked. But, you know, praise the Lord. My heart is full of thankfulness and gratitude to Him, our Saviour, how He walks with us and how He's so patient with us is amazing. I was sat there just now staring at the steps. I was worshipping as well, but I stared at the steps and I was thinking in Romans where it says, or do you not know, this is Romans 6, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I was just glancing at the steps and I was thinking, baptism, if you're not sure what baptism is, here's a great picture. There's some steps here and you're going down into death. It's a joyous day, by the way. But you're going down into the Lord's death, His burial. So when we take those steps, hopefully they're not slippery. But when we go down later on, just that picture alone is that we are going down and identifying with the Lord's death, His burial. Then, when the dunking has happened, the full immersion, when Daniel goes over, we'll let him breathe, possibly when he comes back up. But the steps are clear as well, that those steps are newness of life. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Just this, well, there's nothing magical in the water or anything, but there's a going down into the Lord's death. And then after that, there's newness of life. Do you have newness of life this morning? I'm looking around for some faces now that show newness. You know, we can show joy, the joy of salvation, because I'll tell you this now, there's people that I'm working with at the moment that are broken and are looking for some joy somewhere. And those steps in particular are steps of joy. As you come out from that water, they are steps of newness of life. That is amazing. Oh, what has the Lord done? Incredible. And I just wanted to just share a few thoughts, just very simple this morning, just about this character Lydia. She was a noble one, or described as a beautiful one. Such an incredible story of Lydia. She may well have been the first European baptized by Paul in particular. It was on the mainland Macedonia. It's quite a key story. And I just want to go through and just in some ways this morning, just come with me to like a little glimpse through the household of Lydia, okay? And I just want to start, this is, Paul had this vision at night, and the vision was of a man saying, come over here to Macedonia and help us. Interestingly, it was a woman, which is great, that was the first one that actually received this wonderful news, the gospel. And Lydia is key to the spread of the gospel. And I just want to read these verses here that have been read out. We'll just go to this place where Paul was staying in Philippi. And I was reading a bit about Philippi, and I don't believe that was actually a synagogue there. Now, if you go through a lot of Paul's teachings, he would often go to a place, a hub of activity. He would go to a place where he could actually demonstrate, argue, defend the gospel. But Philippi, I don't believe there was a synagogue there. So he went to a key place, and where was it? The river. The riverside. And I just want to read through a couple thoughts of when I was just, I've been going over and over in this. And we'll just pick up here in verse 12, if you've got a Bible. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. It would have been a Roman colony. We were staying in that city for some days, so Paul had probably acclimatized himself with that area and people. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. And Just a real simple picture this morning. I was thinking about where Paul had come from, the city. And if you're anything like me, I find city life busy. I find city life noisy. I find that it drains most of my energies. I'm thinking of work life. I'm thinking of distractions that can come into our life. It's the city. And it really struck me just this week that the Lord Jesus, and this isn't just for our Dan here, but everyone who's got an open heart this morning, the Lord sometimes wants to pull you out from the city and he wants to set you on the river. Next to the river, on the riverside, where a place where it's quiet, tranquil, where he can speak into your heart individually and also corporately. And I was just there thinking this week, oh, and I don't know if you feel like it, but as a build-up to Christmas, oh, you can throw in a few more curveballs of busyness. We get so preoccupied, don't we? But I found this story so amazing that the Lord had gone before. He'd gone well before and prepared this lady, Lydia. She had a heart that wanted to hear good news. And it was down at the river. Paul was seeking for a place where he could go and share the gospel. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia, she heard us. You know, to hear the gospel, you've got to have ears that are wide open. We've got amazing senses that God has given us, and hearing is one of the key ones. You've got to have a heart that wants to hear. Lydia wanted to hear. It describes her later on as she worshipped God. It actually means she was a God-fearer. It means she had some relationship there, okay? And we sometimes can be stuck in that place of just being a God-fearer. Oh, I know about God. Yeah, I kind of believe that and a bit of that. And I attend church maybe twice a year, and there's something more that the Lord wants for us. Not just a God-fearer, but he wants to come in and be so intimate and personal with us and be our Saviour. And it says this of Lydia. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. And purple was then quite a significant colour. I was thinking about, well, I did a bit of homework, and basically, it's quite a royal colour. It would have been something for the princes of the area. Kings, royalty. She was quite an outstanding character of the community, Lydia. She had sway and she had influence. I find it so interesting in Scripture that the Lord goes after key people often, and so that the gospel can spread. But he also goes after the ones that don't have anything. Not very special at all. I felt for years just not very special. Pretty rubbish at school. Little bit naughty. And you can go through a whole list of things. I have to be careful because my parents are here. He's writing it down. But you know, you can feel insignificant. But when the Lord comes into your heart, boom, he gives a new heart. Lydia, oh, she found and had a new heart. And she had this thing of selling purple, and it was these things where they'd have to go and it was some sort of thing in the sea. I think it was some shell-like things that you get the colour from the shells, and then that's why it made it so rare. And I was thinking, well, she had something very special there, and she had a very good working business. She did. She was very well known and everything like that. But what she got from the Lord far outweighed all of the riches of the world. You know, we can get distracted in the city. Maybe this morning you're in the city. Maybe you're distracted by things in your heart that you want to get your identification correct. You want to get your standing in the local community. You want to be the best in your work. You want a career and blah, blah, blah. Honestly, it's not so much the city. The Lord wants you by the river where he can speak to you. It's quieter there. It's already come through this morning if you've heard it. He wants us by the river so he can speak to us. And he spoke to Lydia. And this is the bit that I haven't gone to any of my notes here. It says here that whilst she was there, it describes Lydia as one that worshipped God. And then it says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. That is the key. The work of the Holy Spirit comes and prompts and opens up this thing here. We've heard recently from Roger about a change of a heart. and the capacity of a heart. Well, the Lord can change your heart. And this morning, Dan, as he gets baptized, it's a declaration of, I've got a new heart. I've come to that river place where the Lord has spoken. And it's not always easy if you've someone that's grown up in a Christian church, although we are so, so very blessed. I was just looking this morning, so blessed to have parents that have loved the Lord, and also two sets of parents that love the Lord. We are so thankful for generation ones who've stuck in the faith. But in some ways, that person still needs to come to know the Lord themselves. They need to come to the place of the river where it flows with the Lord's love, and that their life can be changed. Anyway, I was thinking, what happened then? Well, it doesn't give you much detail about what happened with the baptism. Where was it? Did they have a tank there? I don't know. One thing, I was very relieved this morning when we were chatting to Daniel quite a few weeks ago, and we said about baptism, and I was thinking he was going to ask to be baptized outside. So there was joy in my heart that he wanted to be baptized, but also relief that it was like, oh no, I have to get the pool out and all that, and it's cold, and so great that you're having it done in here, son. But there's no real detail about how Lydia was baptized. She was baptized. And the household. The Lord Jesus is after households. If you're someone that has faith in the Lord Jesus, don't ever put down things that can happen in your household. Your life can be a testimony to those that you live with. Keep going. Keep holding on to faith. Ultimately, the object of your faith is Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's not in a way a set of how church does things. It's in Him and Him alone. Anyway, they were baptized. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And I was thinking, I wrote in my notes here, just a little phrase this week, just about the state of your heart. Verse 15, baptized. Baptism enlarges the heart to others. It says she invited folk to a house, come and stay it for a while. And it says here, I wrote this week, from a hostile to a hospitable heart. Lydia's heart was changed from being, in some ways, if you're not in relationship with the Lord, it's hostile to God. And I had confessed for many years just having a heart that was hostile. I wasn't bothered about God. But what the Lord does when He comes into your life, He changes a hostile heart to a hospitable heart. Someone that wants someone to come and live in them. Can you see that this morning? Does He live in your heart? Does the Lord Jesus live in your heart this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, but in your heart, is that true or not? I think there's a challenge this morning that goes out. Maybe the Lord wants to change the hostile heart to a hospitable heart. And then what is the fruit of a hospitable heart? It says here, come to my house and stay. There's a dwelling place. Let me just read this verse to you here. This is in Ephesians chapter 2. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. That is Daniel 2. In baptism today, you are being baptized into the body of Christ. Here, you're all His family. He's your family. You know, often in marriages, we often get people to stand and say, will you say this prayer, and will you keep praying for this couple that have, you know, and we all stand together. I find it the same in baptism. Will you keep praying? And also for his heart, that he would learn to pray for others. One of the best bits of advice I had as a young man was, take your eyes off yourself and start praying for others. We're consumed with ourselves these days. One of Lydia's things in the change of her heart was, I think the eyes came off herself and she started to open up her house to others. She became hospitable. Have we got that in our heart? That's a challenge to myself too. Anyway, going on, it says this in Ephesians. Members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, that's you people, being fitted together, that can be kind of a hard process sometimes. We have sharp bits, don't we? Looking at myself here. Come on, let's be honest. Yeah? It says loving and bearing with one another. I have sharp bits sometimes. But the Lord, oh, he's the carpenter, wants to take off the edges more and more. And as we take steps of obedience with baptism, again, it's another thing where he's shaping us, smoothing down areas that need to be smoothed down. And it says this then, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And I'm linking that dwelling place to being someone that has a hospitable heart. The Lord Jesus today wants to be dwelling in hearts, not heads so much. He does that almost as a fruit of being in the heart. But often we have it, we engage it, and it's all up here, but we want it down here. Because that's the place that people that you work with who don't know the Lord can see it. It's from here, it's when the river pours out from here. Streams flowing out from the heart. Oh Lord, he's wonderful, isn't he? May he be a dwelling place. And for Dan, may it start today, a dwelling place of the Lord. From a hostile heart to a hospitable heart. Baptism enlarges the heart to others. This is a public declaration today. That he's saying, I love you, Lord. I'm not going to take up his testimony because I've not heard it. But in some ways, if you've been baptized, that's what you're saying publicly. Because I know for a fact there's one who's looking who doesn't want it to happen. So just something, please keep praying after. Do you remember the Lord was tempted, wasn't he? When was he tempted? In the wilderness. And in a sense, things that when he made a stand and declared his love for the Father, Satan was there. And often it's when you take a step of obedience, the wicked one can come in. So we stand together, don't we? We're the household of God. Keep praying for one another. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond. And after I went on, was reading further in Acts, and something that kind of really spoke to me, there's another great story of a girl after who actually had a possessed spirit. Then after that, there was the jailer that came to know the Lord Jesus. Now, after all those stories, who was the one that offered to kind of bring Paul and have him into the house and stay? Lydia. Little sign that something's happened in here. Something had happened here. She had a heart that changed. And then when Paul was kicked out and then they were told him to leave the city, who was it? It was Lydia, the household that invited him in. Oh Lord, make our hearts, enlarge our hearts. Enlarge my heart in these days. Amen. He's wonderful, isn't he? And today, this is, I've got here, you've got to get out of the city at times. Verse 13, the business of life's happenings, come to the river in faith. Enter the river of life that flows from God. And I was just reading that and writing down a few notes in between making teeth. I have got probably some terrible teeth out there somewhere where I get waylaid and my thought processes go somewhere else. I'm thinking about rivers. Still thinking about recently, sorry, we were blessed, we had Larry Hill come for a weekend and he talked about rivers. Even rivers that just go, and even from that, the Lord just sows little seeds of rivers. And I was thinking about this river here. Lydia sat there with maybe just talking about her struggles, talking about her business. But ultimately, Paul sharing about the good news of the Lord Jesus, that he can actually change a life. The Lord Jesus can come, and dwell and live in our lives. Anyway, I'm coming to the end. I just want to read this verse here. One of the things I'd said to Daniel, and you may kind of think, oh, Mark, that's a bit heavy. You can say that, because in reflection it probably is. But I did say, one of the words which really is quite key about baptism is the word repentance. I'm convinced that it's a changing of direction, which is what repentance means. But I was thinking, I heard a guy recently describe about repentance, and this may help someone here. But he said it's not just a replacing of things in your heart, but it's a refacing. And it really struck me this week. It's not that God does a replacing of things, although he does, he gives us new, but it's a refacing. He gets our lives and he refaces us. Who does he reface us to? Yeah, bit more excitement. But he doesn't reface us back to our old life. Oh, I should have done better. Oh, guilt, feelings of, you know, oh, I should have done. No, he doesn't just replace things. He refaces us to him. That's amazing, miraculous. And each day it will grow. Then there'll be days when you'll find that the floods are coming up. And you're feeling like, oh, Lord, it's caving in on me. But there will always be this thing when you're in a relationship, there will always be this place of joy that's deep underneath there that wells up, and it's a refacing to the Father. That's amazing. Young people, it's the best thing that you can do. Taking a step of faith. Wonderful. Amen. Let me just read this. This is in Acts 2. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is key. This is water baptism. But in your heart it should be a stirring of, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The one that reveals Jesus in our lives, in a daily walk. Doesn't matter where you are, where you're at, the Spirit just reveals Jesus more and more. It reveals him as the Shepherd, the King, the Saviour. For the promise is unto you, I was thinking of Dan, your children, and all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And I was thinking about blessed by generations of those that love the Lord. But it's to you afar off. If you're feeling so far away from the Lord today, in a moment you can be back into the everlasting arms of the Lord. In a moment. Lydia's moment was at the riverside. Maybe your moment is this morning. Maybe your heart is breaking for someone in your family. You're desperate for them to know the Lord. Oh, Lord, bring them to the river place, the riverside, that the Lord would speak to them. Precious Lord. I've finished. I'll just pray. Is that okay? Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting to know the Lord? It's just a step of obedience and faith in him by taking a plunge. Wonderful. Lord, we thank you for today. And Lord, the deep knowing of your love, Lord Jesus, is the undercurrent of today. Lord, our focus isn't so much on ourselves, what we've done and what we haven't done, what we've done well or anything. Lord, we just want to say our hearts are full of thanks for how the love of God has come into this family, Lord. Lord, into this church here, and it wants to flow out to those places of the riverside, where there are those that don't yet know you, Lord. And our challenge, Lord, and I position myself this morning, Lord, to use, be used again, Lord. So speak in the riversides, Lord, that we can go back to the city places. Tell those of the love of God. And Lord, today is a picture. It's a picture of what you've done, Lord. If there was no resurrection, this would be a faultless thing. This would be not even worth doing, Lord. But you rose again, Lord Jesus. Lord, you conquered death. You got the victory, Lord Jesus, and we just enjoy today, Lord, a life turning to you, Lord.